Welcome to Local Bitcoiners, a podcast about Bitcoin meetups. In this episode, Reed and Rev talk to Shinobi about the Chicago BitDevs, sovereignty, privacy, cold storage.
Hey, Local Bitcoiners. Rev Hodel back again, as always, with Reed. And tonight we're going to be talking with a very special guest, someone that I've been able to hang out with in Chicago quite a bit recently over the last couple of years. And they're kind of a co-organizer of the Chicago BitDevs, and that's Shinobi. So we're going to be talking with Shinobi tonight about what the BitDevs are and what it's like in Chicago at the Chicago BitDevs. But before we get too deep into that, as always, I have a meetup adventure story. And ironically, the last meetup I went to was the Chicago BitDevs. That's right. And so at the last Chicago BitDevs, it was quite an exciting one with all of the drama going on. It was almost like there didn't need to be too many things on the list because the few things that were on the list were pretty big items involved with the cold card hack. And tried not to talk about BIP 110, but ended up talking about BIP 110. And as usual, I brought some stuff with me to sell. I had one of these single board Bitcoin mining space heaters, which I was able to sell after kind of saying, you know, I'm open to negotiation on the price on this thing. You know, so I don't really want to carry it back to my car. So someone took me up on that, made me an offer that I couldn't refuse. And I also had some eggs that were on sale because I had been missing the meetups where I sell a lot of the eggs, and my fridge was getting full. I needed to make some room for the new eggs. And so I had eggs on at a discount and sold a bunch of eggs. It was a great meetup. I you know, and we switched from, normally there's pizza, really good pizza at this BitDevs, but we've switched recently into having these tacos, man. And, you know, I really enjoyed the tacos. And actually I was, you know, Shinobi brought some Spotted Cow beer from Wisconsin, which I don't normally get. So I was drinking some nice beers and zapping Shinobi, Noster for the V for V on the beer. But, Reed, I think you have a similar story as far as your meetup adventure goes.
Yeah. You know, we have so many of these episodes where I'm like, oh, you know, I haven't been to a meetup recently. And then since our last recording, I've been to two. So we had, the first one I hit up was last Thursday. I went out to the Boston BitDevs. It's just, you know, I was really glad that they were able to, they squeezed one in July, and then they weren't sure if they were going to have another one. And then they ended up putting another one in August, and it was just like a perfect fit for my schedule. I was like, oh, this is perfect timing. And so, yeah, so I get to go out, and, we got a really good rundown of why the Mark III's in particular had such low entropy. It was a pretty deep dive. It was really interesting, actually. And yeah, and you know, we ended up talking about a bunch of other things, and literally as we were closing up, starting to, you know, they're saying we're running out of time. They were like, oh, we forgot to talk about BIP 110. And so that was like at the, when we went out for drinks afterwards, that was the carryover topic. And then after that, so this past Sunday was, my meetup, the Western Mass Bitcoin meetup. And, you know, we had the roundtable format again. And I would say the big thing that's come out of this, and you know, we've talked a lot about the group chats before. I've kind of told our saga of our group chat, our Telegram group kind of died. And, we decided at this meetup that we're resurrecting the group chat. And so we started a Signal group chat. And so it's right now, it's basically the core group is in there for the most part. And anybody who comes to the meetups going forward. So you got to come in person to join, and that's the way we're going to do it. But yeah, so those are mine. And, Shinobi, very nice to meet you, you know, at least briefly here so far. And, thanks for coming on. And, why don't you introduce yourself a little bit and tell us about the Chicago BitDevs?
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm a cartoon character from the internet that has a reputation for being very mean. But yeah, you know, Chicago BitDevs, I think, is pretty different from a lot of the other BitDevs, at least that I've been to across the country. You know, it's a little it's a little closer knit, like smaller. And I would say not that there's like no non-technical people, but we generally have a lot more non-developer, non-technical attendees. So I feel like the dynamic is a lot different from most others. And generally the format of a BitDevs is supposed to be kind of a Socratic meetup focused on the technicals of Bitcoin, like what's going on with development, kind of the wider technical state or progress of the space. And the important thing about like a Socratic conversation is like people are supposed to kind of like question each other and kind of like help like nudge each other into clarifying things in like a back and forth discussion where the end goal is to kind of just let people come to their own conclusions. Like it's not a debate in the sense of like, you know, trying to filter out or decide what's the winner or like what's the correct thing or what. It's just let that engagement happen and kind of let people draw their own conclusions from it. And I feel like we are pretty successful at dealing with that kind of bigger non-technical audience than a lot of the other bit devs I've been to. And I feel like, you know, we really take advantage of that to help those people get that deeper technical understanding of what's going on that they, you know, didn't have previously, which is why I think they keep coming back to these meetups, even though they're focused entirely on technical subjects.
Yeah, it's interesting to hear about that because so we've talked, you know, we've been talking to a lot of different Bitcoin meetup organizers on this podcast, obviously, for a long time. And, you know, it's interesting to hear about all the different cultures and communities that exist at each one of these meetups. And it's like every meetup is different. And like I've said before, I feel like at my meetup, you know, we have a lot of, maybe it's because I started out with a lot of, like educational type material, but we have a lot of people who come who, you know, I would say maybe don't put in their 40 hours a week, who come to the meetup. That's where they get their education. And a lot of other meetups are not like that. So it's interesting to hear that BitDevs has that same kind of, you know, different range of people who attend.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's kind of important because, you know, there is like that really big gap, I think, in the different communities in this space of technical understanding and depth of that understanding. And it's, you know, I don't want to talk like shade, at like any particular bit devs. So I'm not going to name, like other locations or anything, but you know, there are some, and I personally love attending these ones, where it's like almost entirely developers or like highly technical people. And like we just get lost in the details of like whatever the subject is or like topics of discussion for that meetup. And you know, that's incredibly enjoyable for someone like myself. But when you have like less technical people attending that kind of meetup, like they're ultimately taking nothing away from that at all. And their only opportunity to take anything away from that is like afterwards when people are kind of breaking off and socializing, you know, trying to approach the right person to like ask a question to or get something clarified in like fundamental knowledge during a discussion that they were missing. And you know, it's kind of a weird question, I think, at the end of the day, philosophically. Like, what is any particular BitDevs meetup for? Like, is it for people like me to just kind of get together with other people like me and nerd the hell out about, like, what's going on this month? Or is it for like less technical people to have that place to go to like figure out what the hell is going on, to understand what they don't understand and have people like me there to actually answer their questions and like help them through some issue. And I don't think there's like any single right answer there.
Well, we talk a lot on the show about Bitcoin meetups as a community asset. And, you know, the attendees of the meetup are often that's kind of what dictates the culture of the meetup and, you know, what kind of, the culture being like the intellectual and experiential capital of the group, right? So it's like, if there's the mixture of all these people and all their skill sets, add up to what the culture is. And then the meetup itself is then an asset for those people to better, to improve. And so maybe these meetups, these bit devs that are, and I do think bit devs are Bitcoin meetups. I don't think that they're like a different bit devs is just a kind of Bitcoin meetup, right? But maybe these bit devs that are more, much more technical are because, like you said, all of the people that are attending there are highly technical to begin with. And so if you're the one guy that's not super technical and you're trying to stop the flow of this exchange to get caught up, it's like, well, you're just kind of at the wrong, place for that kind of information. But you know, from attending the Chicago Bit Devs, I've been kind of coming more regularly recently, but I've been on and off for a few years coming over there. And, you know, it is intimidating just because of the lore, let's say, or the just what you hear about what a Bit Devs is before you go to one. You get it in your mind that you are going to be like, getting totally inundated with all this technical information that you're not going to understand what bit. But, you know, even when that happens to me and I'm not understanding, I'm trying to pay attention and, you know, I can go do my own research afterwards, right? Or when I'm talking to somebody else who is a developer, maybe at a Bitcoin meetup in another area, I can bring up something that I didn't understand at the Bit Devs and then maybe they can explain it to me. And so it does give you tools and resources to benefit, your technical knowledge, whether you understand it or not. So I'm kind of curious though, we often like to ask people what their meetup origin stories are. And I know you've probably been hanging out and doing meetup type things for a long time. Do you remember the first, what would you call the first Bitcoin meetup you went to? Do you have a story around that?
Honestly, it was one of the old Bob meetups. Like back in the day pre-COVID, when Hannah Rosenberg, Pamela, and Brooke Mahlers, Jack Mahler's stepmom, were organizing that. And at the time, that was literally the biggest Bitcoin meetup in the entire United States. Like those meetups would be like mini conferences where you could get like 500, 600, 700 people, at M Hub. It's like a hacker space was one of the places they used to do big meetups like that. And you know, there'd be out of town guests, there to speak and it'd be like a little mini, you know, like quarter day conference or something. And I just kind of like popped in on one of those because I'd never been to like anything in person like that. And just kind of hung out, like talked to a little people afterwards. And then had some guy just like stop, deadpan, like walking past me when I was talking to somebody and just turn like, Shinobi? He just recognized me purely off my voice. I didn't show up to another meetup for like 6 months. I was just like, motherfucker. Like, yeah, people are literally just going to recognize me like walking past by my voice. Like, what the hell am I going to do about this? And just like spazzed out for months about that, before I went to another event. But, you know, I went to those for a while before, eventually like Pamela kind of dropped off. Brooke obviously moved away from Chicago, and then eventually Hannah did as well, and nobody wanted to keep doing the work, so the whole thing just fell apart. And then I really didn't go to anything in person, other than conferences now and again until BitDevs. Like around, I can't remember if it was right after COVID started or right before, but kind of like around that period.
Yeah, we mentioned before, or Rev, you kind of mentioned it, like this, there's a BitDevs and Bitcoin meetups. Like, look, there's all kinds of different Bitcoin meetups. Some Bitcoin meetups, you just go for a walk. Like, there's literally all different types of Bitcoin meetups. And obviously, I'm in the camp also that BitDevs is like, you know, just another type of Bitcoin meetup. But I do feel like BitDevs definitely come with a little bit of their own culture. You know, like right away, every time you walk into a BitDevs, like right away, you know, everybody's got the same website. They all fork the same repo to make the website. They all kind of present the topics. You know, it's not the same topics. Everybody comes up with their own, but they all kind of present the topics in the same way. And I don't know, I guess I always thought it seemed like the BitDevs were way more coordinated and organized and stuff like that than a lot of the other meetups that were more just like, I don't know, maybe hanging out at a bar. But I don't know how many other types of meetups that you've been to, especially if you haven't been to that many in-person things. But I guess, what do you feel about like the culture, the cohesiveness maybe across different BitDevs?
I think people take very different approaches to how to like moderate and manage them and organize them overall. But I think the one common thing is just being a place where people can actually have like a real back and forth conversation about the technical side of things, because that's really hard to find like a place for that. At least that isn't private, that kind of moves at that pace, you know, like the mailing list, things like Delving, like different working groups, you know, GitHub, like these things aren't like moving fast, you know, when you really just want to like dump something out of your head and get feedback on that and really like go through something deeply without taking forever. Like there's not really that many places to have those types of interactions at scale without them getting like disrupted or having to be like really harshly gate kept. So, you know, I think that's what has like kept them going. You know, it's like that's something every month, unless I'm out of town or I have like some serious obligation I have to deal with. Like I'm going to BitDevs because I don't get to have those types of interactions to that depth very often.
Do you think that the BitDevs are sustain, like there's this Austin BitDevs, right? That was a pretty big one. And who was running it? Like Ben Carmen, I think. Is that who was running it?
Ben was one of them. And I forget the other guy who helped him primarily with that.
So I guess the point is like that BitDevs, the dude stepped down, or they said they weren't going to do it anymore. They just wanted to do other things. And like, if this were to happen at, like a meetup in my area in Michigan, basically somebody from the community would be like, sure, all right, see you later, man. And they would step up and they would start doing the meetup instead, and the meetup would continue. But it sounded like in Austin it was like, because this meetup, this BitDevs was so big, and it was like, there was a lot of pressure for whoever was going to step, those were like big shoes to fill, I guess. Mm-hmm. And because of all of the work that would go into doing something like that. So I guess in that, the question there is like, are these a little bit more serious, or, you know, is it, what's the ultimate difference between the BitDevs and just a meetup without that technical focus?
Well, I mean, I don't really think like the seriousness is like inherently just because it's a BitDubs. You know, like you said, like Austin is just a big city in this industry. Like there are a lot of developers, a lot of organizations based out of there. So like there were a lot of very substantially involved and, you know, competent people like in Austin. But it's not inherently any more serious just because it's a technical subject. It's just a different subject matter geared for a generally different crowd.
Do you think it's like, is there some overhead to organizing it? You know, you've kind of been involved with the Chicago one. Maybe this is a better way to go over it is what's been kind of the history since you've been involved with the Chicago BitDevs?
Well, Ian and Chris Stewart, who used to run the company SherdBits that did a lot of work with discrete log contracts, used to be the primary organizers for years. But both of them kind of stepped back due to family stuff. And, you know, myself, Kevin, some others kind of stepped up to keep things going. But I think the, like all that kind of like logistical stuff, it just comes to scale. Like how many attendees do you have? Like how many of the little logistical things do you have to think through in terms of, you know, like getting food for people, you know, just keeping a conversation like organized and moderated so that everybody has a chance to like participate or get something clarified if they're not quite following the discussion. And, you know, some like Chicago is honestly not that big compared to a lot of others I've attended. So it's not really that much work. You know what I mean? Just kind of get a list of things put together and at least, you know some organizers have gone through all the subjects so that we can kind of like introduce a subject, kind of try to get conversation going around it and, you know, make sure food's there for everybody and that the place isn't a mess when we leave because, you know, we have Strike very generously letting us use their office to host the meetup. And then more recently, we also have the second meetup at the Chicago Bitcoin Collective up on the north side of the city, as well as the Bob meetups kind of starting up again over there. So,
cool, man. So I thought maybe now is a good time to pivot a little bit because, you know, we do appreciate that we have, you know, a BitDevs organizer with us. And, you know, it's like, I'm not sure if you've listened to the show before, but it's come up a few times. And I would give most of the credit here to Rev because, you know, he's brought up a few times, like some of his, some of the things that he does to do UTXO management and things like that when he's either, you know, selling something for sats or buying something with sats. If he's doing it on chain, there's a, you know, he's shared a lot of kind of tips and tricks and stuff like that before. And now I think in the wake of, you know, maybe there's a lot of people out there right now who are searching for, you know, I don't know, like new setups for their keys or something like that, like exploring multisig for the first time. And, I guess I'm just wondering if you have any, insights or advice about, any of these topics, that you might be able to share with, you know, people listening to the show, but a lot of people listening to the show are also Bitcoin meetup organizers and might be getting a lot of these same questions.
Well, I'm going to suggest one of you two pick a subject and then I'll get into that one based on that because I have something to say on pretty much all of that.
Well, I guess I can narrow it down a little bit. So at the last BitDevs, we lost Bolt, right? For now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been using, my strategy, has been to basically whenever I make an on-chain transaction, I don't want any change coming back to my wallet. I have the change output, what would be the change output go ultimately into a swap and swap the change directly into Lightning. And I consolidate in Lightning. And then when I have when my channel is full, basically, and I need to rebalance, I will then do another swap and get that UTXO back on chain. Now, since Bolts is gone, at actually the last BitDevs, the Meshadel brought up this idea of, okay, so if you don't have a swap service, your community is your swap service. And so I was selling this Bitcoin miner, and so I sold it for a certain amount of sats. And then I was like, well, would you actually pay me like two times that on chain? And then I will send you the change from your overpayment back to you on Lightning. So now I have been able to basically swap Lightning and on-chain without the swap service involved. Are there like, do you see these kinds of techniques becoming more necessary as the services, the holes are being poked in everything right now, you know? So is it better to try and focus on this peer-to-peer way to do things?
I mean, you know, these things are going to get ironed out and fixed in the long term. But in the meantime, yeah, you know, things like that can work. You just have to kind of remember when you do those types of things, like you are still giving some information away to the person you're interacting with. You know, like whoever bought that miner from you, like they still know that UTXO. And they can follow that. So like that's something to keep in mind. And then two, just, you know, these are obviously trusted things. So like don't go doing, you know, things like that with some new guy at the meetup you've never met before, or like people you don't necessarily trust to kind of have like some debt floating if shit goes wrong, and just like figure it out over Messenger later. But yeah, you know, there's going to be a little bit of disruption of things over the next few months. And it's just going to be a harsh kind of reality check. Like a lot of infrastructure and services that people depend on in this space at the end of the day are just ultimately hobby projects that people started hacking together because they saw a gap in the early days in something, and it just kept growing and ran away from them. And like, you can't maintain professional infrastructure like that at scale. Like that implodes on itself. So like, this is going to be a lot of burning and cleansing that ultimately needs to happen, because like the longer you put that off, at the end of the day, it's just the more people are going to get hurt by it. Like as things get bigger and grow in that amateurish state.
You know, my angle on everything is I'm always trying to tie it back into permaculture. And so there's a couple permaculture principles that come to mind here when it relates to like what's going on. And one is value diversity. And the second is value the marginal. And the third one is self-regulate, accept and apply feedback. So if you're like paying attention to what's going on, you're self-regulating, you're accepting and applying feedback, you're probably looking at ways to harden your setup. And a lot of the ways to harden your setup is to find things that are the biggest reason why this cold card thing was such a fiasco is because it wasn't something at the margin. Now, depending on what lens you look through it, yes, Cold Card was not like the number one hardware wallet or anything, but for the community that they were serving, it was not at the margin. It was the thing to be using. Mm-hmm. And so you're starting to look for more marginal solutions, and you're starting to diversify your solutions. I know you wrote that article. There was a permaculture article that you wrote for Bitcoin Magazine a few years ago now. And I was curious if you've ever thought about applying these principles and techniques to development, to Bitcoin, how it relates.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm not like, I would say like super into permaculture. You know, I've gardened before when I have the space. I've done some things with friends where like in our social group, we ultimately just sourced available like, land space there and kind of just collectively managed it and shit like that. But yeah, like, you know, I wrote that whole article to kind of essentially make a point to a lot of the people who kind of built their identity and like way of engaging publicly in this space around like self-sovereignty and being sovereign and like not depending on other things, to just kind of like make the point, like having money doesn't mean jack shit. Like you are not self-sovereign just because you have a lot of money. Like you are not in a position in the world where you aren't dependent on other people or things just because you have a lot of money. Like that money at the end of the day is just means to other ends. And it's those other ends that are the real like determination of how sovereign you are. Like how free of dependence are you? Like how close are you to the direct production or access to those ends that money exists to get you to? And yeah, I am a firm believer, especially in this day and age, that people should, even if it just seems like really small, innocuous things in life in general, you should seek to remove dependencies on external things or things that other people have control over. And that's just a basic self-preservation principle. Like every instance of something that you depend on in your life for your survival, that you depend on some external thing for, like that is power that thing has over you.
Yeah, we've brought up before. I've been bringing it up recently. Sovereignty is hard, right? It's more like an ideal than anything. It's not really something that is fully attainable, or maybe it isn't really intended to be fully attainable, right? I mean, like we're humans, like we rely on each other, and and there's always going to be like that distribution of, I forget the technical term for it, but you know what I mean? Like each person doing like a specialized job, you get a lot more productivity about that around that. If you're able to like, you know, cooperate, like,
and we're a social unit. Like we are a social species. Like our entire evolution at a biological level as a species has been built around like collective social units. And they might be very small ones, like not like the insanity of like this nation or like this ethnicity or like whatever the fuck people try to associate it with these days. But like we are a social organism. Like you will never fully disconnect from that.
And I've noticed too, it's like the every time you take another step towards privacy, towards sovereignty, is you're heaping that much more kind of responsibility onto your own shoulders, where it's like, okay, you know, like the example that has been coming up for me recently is like, okay, you know, multi-sig is too hard. And like, you know, you're really bummed out that now all of a sudden you don't trust your single sig the same way. It's like, you know, is it a good idea for you to move your coins to an exchange like permanently? Like, I mean, I don't think it is, but you know, look, it has to do with, you know, do you want to be sovereign over that aspect of your life? Like if you want to be sovereign over your keys, you have to decide the best way to do that for yourself. But yeah, the more sovereign you're going to be, kind of the harder, the bigger ask it's going to be if you want to actually remain sovereign. So, like for the people who are maybe not the MK3 people, because I think that ship has sailed at this point, but like, let's say you're one of the MK4 crowd or something else where, you know, there are people out there like right now, like quote unquote attacking the network, searching everywhere for your coins. But in reality, that's the way it always is. Like you should expect that to be the norm for people to be trying to attack your property. And if people are attacking your property, if you're actually going to be sovereign over that property, it's up to you to defend it. And if that means you got to move your coins to a different address or move to a multi-sig wallet or, roll your own dice or flip your coins to make your seed phrase, then I guess that's what you're going to have to do if you want to remain sovereign over it.
This is something I've been thinking a lot about. Like, for right now, I'm still using my cold card. Like, my seed was generated securely, like, forever ago. I still have my seed loaded on my cold card. If I needed to, like, touch cold storage tomorrow, like, I'll be signing that with my cold card. But long term, I'm not going to keep using that because, like, as much as, like, some small part of me, like, wishes, like, they could pull it out of the fire and, like, do something to help people that were hurt by this and, like, bounce back, it's like, that's not fucking happening. Like, that company's dead. It's dead. Goodbye. And I'm not going to keep using an unmaintained device in the future. Like, not maintained by that company. Because, like, most of the value of that cold card to me is all the physical protections of somebody extracting the seed from the device. Like, all the tamper proof, like, shit. So that I can, like, see if somebody fucked with it. And, like, yeah, the only way that can be maintained is rando community people who don't have that firmware signing key. Like, so any updates, like, future fixes of, like, anything not known now, like, none of that will ever be signed by the key burned into that device. So goodbye, like, integrity check, goodbye, like, tamper check, like, that's useless to me in the long term. And so I'm like reassessing the current gen, like, stuff from all the hardware companies out there. And I'm not really comfortable with using anything else out there, really. Like, I don't want to jump into a multi-sig. Like, I'm not too concerned about, like, signing security like that. I'm not too worried about physical shit. I'm just mostly concerned about, like, overcomplicating things and fucking up. So, like, I'm very unhappy with everything out there. Like, a lot of, like, pretty much everything else out there that is, like, the same open chip or, like, class of it that the cold card had, and then, like, the closed secure element to just, like, secure the seed when it's not being used and make it a lot harder to extract that out of the device if somebody gets it. Like, none of those devices do air gapping. Like, you can't update the firmware air gapped. You can't generate the seed air gapped. You can't sign air gapped. So, like, everything else with, like, the equivalent physical security, like, I don't like that I can't air gap anything. Like, that, like, I really don't fucking like that. And then looking at things you can do air gapping, like, no offense to Keith, like, he's a personal friend of mine, but, like, I don't trust a seed signer and having to, like, regularly access a seed backup, like, to use that. Like, that is, like, that's just impractical to store that seed in a way that's, like, tamper evident. And, like, I, like, that just, it becomes a pain in the ass. Like, the new Foundation, like, Foundation, their old Passport device was essentially a clone of the Mark III cold card, but that's discontinued now. And their new Prime device is just really, really complicated, unlike anything else, at least in terms of serious reputable companies in the space. Like, it's a full-on, like, advanced processor that's kind of got some hardware security features similar to a secure element. It's like a, but it's like a air quote full computer instead of just like a very super limited microcontroller. And that's designed to like load all kinds of apps that like have different permissions to access secrets and everything. It's like, I love the device. Like I want to get one for like a hot wallet and like it can manage 2FA secrets, like Noster keys, like all kinds of shit like that. Like I love all those features. I would find that device incredibly useful, but I'm in no universe would I use that for cold storage. Then like the Jade, has no secure element. And they do this trick where your seed on the device is encrypted, but you only have half of what is needed to decrypt it. And you have to authenticate to a remote server Blockstream runs. And in fairness, like someone else could run this. And like get a secret from them that's one used to decrypt your seed. And then it just wipes when you're done. So like that is really strong security. Like if somebody stole your device, like it's completely useless. Like you're fine because even if they, start trying to like connect to that server, they'll just delete their share of it after so many failed attempts. And then they don't even have the share to decrypt what's on the device anymore. But the catch 22 of that is you either need your seed to re-import it or you need that server to unlock the keys on the device and sign with it. And the thing that sketches me out about that is like, imagine traveling somewhere and like, shit, you need to access money. Obviously that you don't have your fucking seed with you, like when you're traveling. But you can't access that server. Like some internet issue or like whatever the hell happens, like now you just can't access your keys. Like, so I really don't like that. And it's just like nothing else out there. Like every other device out there, like I look at has something that makes me very uncomfortable with using it as a single sig. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it sounds like there's just like a lot of instances where, you know, this device works better than that one for this situation, this scenario, this context. And it's difficult to find something that, is useful in a much more broad context. It seems like, you know, this might be, revealing of, you know, what a real, the most desirable hardware wallet is. But I think a lot of something that I heard today was like, okay, so without covenants we can't do vaults, but there's like some hacky ways to do vaults right now. And one that I heard was that you can basically just pre-sign the transaction to a different set of keys and you just destroy the keys for that Bitcoin. And then, but see, the thing is that if you generated those keys that you destroyed with the cold card, you know, that don't care. Mm-hmm. They'll just make a new transaction and steal your Bitcoin anyway. So like, I'm like, that actually doesn't work as a vault because if you think you generated these keys privately, you
might
not.
You could do it redundantly though, because like you could do that as like a 3 of 3 multi-sig and use 3 devices. And then sign with, and as long as one of those was generated securely and properly deleted, like it's fine. You know what I mean?
But yeah, so I guess that's what I'm getting at. I'm not interested in like.
There's a really big problem with that though, Rev. And that's if you lose those transactions, you're fucked. Like goodbye money, like done. So
that's kind of the same thing as storing the descriptor, right? So you're only losing mm-hmm. privacy if you leak that information.
No, because those are signed transactions, unless they were like encrypted. like those, like people could submit those and start like pulling money out to start withdrawals and shit like that.
You can edit the transaction or something. Keep the signature.
But then you're adding things that if you lose and can't reverse, you know what I mean? But I have a very simple proposal, that I made at the very start of all the inscription nonsense, just to kind of prove the point that they didn't understand anyway, about why, like, you can't just arbitrarily decide, like, what's allowed or not, or, like, should be, like, censored or not. Just inscribe them. Like, if you just take something, like those pre-signed transactions for a vault, you sign them and then delete those signing keys. And then you're still going to need other keys, like the multi-sig to like where you send them back to if you want to stop a withdrawal, or like the hot key in the middle that like spends if when you let the withdrawal happen. Like just take one of those keys and then literally just inscribe like the whole encrypted set of all those transactions on chain, encrypted. And at that point, it's literally impossible to ever lose them until we get to the point like we're just like doing ZK proofs of the historical chain so you don't need it anymore because like you know this UTXO set's legit. And by that point, like people can start making copies off their own node before they upgrade to things like that, or like caching like anything. Like, you know what I mean? That's like a whole bunch of shit is changing fundamentally at that point beyond just like, oh, these single wallets. But like, and then you just don't lose that key that inscribed it. Like you just load that into a wallet, like that'll always find that wallet's transactions, which are the inscriptions, which have like all the pre-signed transactions, and bam, problem solved.
Well, I think what you mean is you don't lose the password to decrypt it, right?
Now you can just... you use a key. Like you do not ever encrypt something like that with anything but like a full security key derived from like your Bitcoin like seed or something like that, because that data, once you put that on chain, is forever. Like, sure. When that if that key's cracked, all of that shit's public.
But if somebody finds those keys, there's actually no Bitcoin on the keys. The keys are just the password to decrypt the pre-signed transactions that are stored on the blockchain. Mm-hmm. And so like, yeah, if someone discovers this set of 12 words and they look at it, they'll be like, all right, no Bitcoin on here. I guess I lost. But really what that is that's that's the key to the treasure map to, you know, move your Bitcoin in the future.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm just more interested in these hacky ways of trying to, and this I think comes much from the permaculture angle that I take with everything of using Bitcoin, to do what you need to do yourself, right? Take the responsibility and try this shit. And then you don't depend on the third parties, right? You don't have to worry about a Blockstream server or anything like that. I'm curious if there's like, any advancements, like maybe something Arc could offer in regards to privacy versus what Lightning affords, because it doesn't seem like coin joins are very great right now. There's not a lot of good options for coin joins, and PayJoin just doesn't quite have enough people using it yet. So like, what do you do, you know, to...
Well, first though, I think like people should have like realistic understanding of PayJoin. Like as it stands now, it does effectively nothing on its own when it comes to privacy. Like what you're doing there is kind of saving money, like managing your UTXOs, so that you don't just wind up with like small ones all over the place. But like there is an ungodly amount of work needed across the entire wallet ecosystem to get like any real privacy out of PayJoin, to really like get all wallets making their transactions look identical in like the tiniest little ways, or all like randomizing how they're structured in those tiny ways in the same manner to like really get privacy from that.
That's because of the fingerprinting.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can see the different ways that the wallets make the transactions.
Mm-hmm. And like CoinJoin, if it comes down to it, everything out there sucks and requires you to trust the coordinator in some way. But like something is better than nothing if your concern is just like the general public or like the people you're transacting with. Just don't go expecting that to like obscure shit from financial audits or law enforcement unless you already really know what the fuck you're doing. But yeah, it's privacy. It's going to take a lot of work. And like Arc and Spark, as they stand right now, are not privacy tools. Like, do not expect those at all. All of those services, in order to kind of show a proof to users that they're not just like inflating coins by like double signing transactions, spending the same like off-chain UTXOs, like publish the whole transaction history. Like they all have like explorers essentially with their like off-chain addresses that like display transaction history in the same way that on-chain explorers do, just as that like guarantee that they aren't like rugging people, like being shady. And it's like, it will take a lot of work and re-engineering those systems because they're like these big multi-party trees instead of just like one person's thing off chain to like provide those guarantees in a way that lets them like obscure from themselves the coordinator, like what they're signing and who's doing what. So like expect those to essentially be like open books, essentially like on chain. Expect to have to mix in and out of that, like through Lightning, and obscure that the same way you would like on chain funds, like through Lightning and stuff, because that will be like an open book until you like go generate a new wallet and get like a new off chain like address and identifier.
So what I'm kind of hearing from all this is this shit is hard, man. Right? It's like trade-offs all the way down. Because I think we kind of started by talking about how single sig is just like, hey, let's try not to make this, I'm storing my life savings here, let's try not to make this too complicated. And then I feel like we kind of skipped over maybe traditional multisig and started talking about some like more unique or different types of setups. But you know, I've been an advocate for just regular, you know, two of three multisigs with multi-vendor. And you know, if you can geographically separate them, great. If you're in that situation, again, still trade-offs. There's definitely more stuff you have to deal with, but
the one thing I will say about multisig is if you do that, I personally insist that you have a physical paper backup of all of the XPubs, or if you're doing more complicated like mini script stuff, like the whole descriptor. Because I am like, for real long-term cold storage, I am very hesitant to trust like digital storage. like, I assume everything like has a bit rot risk over like long time horizons with my life savings. So like all of that data you should have on like paper or like stamped into a steel sheet with like the CDOR or like stamp letter kits or whatever the hell. And not just like count on a Google Drive copy or something on a USB drive. I feel strongly about that.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely, it's really important that you keep track of those backups. But like it, you can make copies of it, right? And especially if you keep it in a little encrypted file or something like that. Sure. You know, definitely that, you know, that flash drive that you have in your safe or whatever, like definitely don't count on that. You know, the hard drive on your computer on the shelf, you know, obviously that's going to fail too at some point. But if you get enough copies in enough places, and again, in an encrypted shell of some kind.
I'm a particularly paranoid person. Like I really insist like physical. Like if you aren't doing a mini script thing or something fancy, it's just the Xpubs. Like,
well, yeah,
like
you don't not do physical for something like that, where it's like if someone discovers this, what are you losing? You know, it's not the
privacy.
Actual keys.
That's
right. Just losing privacy. And so there, I think it really gets down to more of not about how you do your backups, but how do you check your backups, right? And at what frequency do like I have kind of like a yearly ritual that I go through where I make sure I can spend out all my fucking sets of keys and do all the backups and make sure that the backups that I have stashed around are there still and check them out, you know? And so you have to, if you have a USB stick, you should plug that fucker in once a year and see if it's still got the shit on there, right? Like otherwise, you know, you are definitely prone when it 5 years goes by and you go look at it and you can't even find it.
So
or there's
I'm
going to
contradict
it, right?
myself here with a silly, personal anecdote. I ironically still have like the first USB drive I ever bought when I was literally like 13 years old. It was only like 128 megabytes and it still works. It still retains data.
That's incredible.
Right. But how do you know it still works? You plugged it in, right? That's the point. It's like you get this shit. You back up your stuff. You got to plug it in. You got to check that it still fucking works on a frequency, on a regular basis. Otherwise, it's not a backup. It's just a probability, right?
Mm-hmm. It's just a, like, I just feel very strongly about this, that if you are really saving like your life savings in Bitcoin and you aren't using something like Unchained or Casa where there's like another key holder that holds your hand and like make sure you check up on like shit regularly, like physical backups are just absolutely necessary in my mind. They are like, yeah, like, yes, like it is kind of shedding some of the physical protection in the sense of like, if somebody got my cold card, like good luck, unless you have like $250,000 like piece of equipment and know how to use it properly, like getting the keys off of that versus a seed. But like that seed on some metal thing will still be there in the ashes if my house burns down when I'm out of town on vacation. And I'm not going to lose my life savings because I don't have somebody else in my life that I trust enough to leave with an extra copy of something like that. And something like that happened. You know what I mean? I feel really strongly that people doing shit on their own like that, that should be like a baseline requirement that you are thinking like you're some form of what you need to spend your coins will survive those types of like life shattering events, because that shit happens.
So, What would you recommend? So in terms of saving, you know, I know it's essentially the X-Pubs, but I think for, and again, as long as you're not doing some kind of crazy setup, that would be, you know, enough information, I think, if you just had the X-Pubs. But like, what do you have recommendations? Like, what is your recommendation for how to store that on physical media? Like, is it just pieces of paper and you just try to make sure that you keep them safe, or is it stamping and steel, or?
To start, yeah. Like, just get it on paper. But like, really, all you really need is like the script type, the derivation path, which is like also implicitly script type, unless you're kind of deviating from standards, and then the XPub. And then like mini script, like, okay, you need like the mini script templates, and then like the master secrets for that. And that would get a lot more complicated. So like with just a basic wallet, just get like a sheet of steel and, take those kits for like ring washers and just like bang out the XPub, like bang out the script type, the derivation path, whatever, and just do it. Like, it will be an obnoxious thing that you spend a whole chunk of your day on, but you will feel a lot better like knowing that's still going to be there and you're safe if your house burns down. And, you know, the mini script, okay, like maybe it will literally take the entire day. But again, like if you are actually keeping your life savings in something, like shit happens, like people's houses burn down.
I think it's too early to commit to any scheme right now like that. Now, sure, you want to act like you're going to be committed to it because you don't know for sure. But I think ultimately I'm expecting that things will change continuously. For the next many years, right? There's going to be continuous new ways to approach storing this key material, storing this backup material. And so like everybody's context is different, but like a piece of paper at your house, a piece of paper, stashed somewhere close to your house, maybe in your yard or whatever, buried. And then another piece of paper in your brother's gun safe or whatever is probably good. You know, you don't need to spend all the time to hammer it into steel. Now, if you want to spend the time hammering into steel, sure, you're good to go. But like, is that a requirement? I don't think so. Yeah, I think that there's a creative ways to come up with storing this key material and this backup material that doesn't require hours of time.
Well, I mean, I get where you're coming from, Rev, but I think that people, and you know, again, like I'm being like, I want to be really clear here. Like I'm talking like you are all in with your life savings, like having some chunk of shit that like you'll survive if like Bitcoin imploded. Like I'm not talking to you, but like you should simultaneously be like paying attention and reevaluating like new custody setups, like new tooling, but you should also have your current shit set up to the point where like that will survive the next 10 or 20 years if that's what you wind up sticking with. Like, you know what I mean? You shouldn't be in this perpetual like state of I'm waiting to decide what to commit to like that. Cause you're already all in. And you know, like I keep saying, shit happens. Like your house just burns down one day. Like the universe doesn't give a shit that you hadn't quite decided what to commit to yet. And like all you had was some paper seeds somewhere that incinerated and your devices fried up and now you lost everything. You know what I mean?
Just comes back to responsibility, right? Like you got, you're, you know, if that's what it is, right? Like you keep saying, if you've chosen to store your life savings and you have chosen to be fully 100% responsible for that, well, then, you know, it's up to you to keep it safe. And if you're going to shirk that responsibility, dude, you're going to lose it.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, there's a lot of people who really went out of their way to kind of make themselves a public personality and like somebody people listen to over like a time period. I kind of hung back a little more from the public eye. And in a lot of ways, I really regret that because I feel like just really bad advice has like circulated everywhere just because like nobody's willing to just like do what I've kind of been doing here and just push back on you guys and be like, no, like think about it my way and think about it why I'm saying you should think about it this way, because like this isn't. Like this isn't a game, you know what I mean? The people we are and the people we're talking about, like, are real people with real lives, like, actually in this situation. And giving advice about this kind of shit, like, it's not a game. It's not something just to do to try to score social points or, like, climb some influencer ladder. Like, that is real shit that real people are going to go act on, and those actions will have real consequences for their lives. And like a lot of it is just like fundamental mentality like that. Like, you know what I mean? Like your life savings is in this shit and shit happens. Like that recovery setup that you have should be rock solid enough to survive your house burning down. Like a flood, if it doesn't literally wash your whole house away, like an earthquake, like, you know what I mean? Like
some single points of failure, right? Mm-hmm. However you come up with it, you got to be thinking about it in terms of, well, in my case, permaculture, right? I'm going to value the diversity. I'm going to find value in the marginal. I'm going to self-regulate, accept and apply feedback. You know, I'm going to continue to harden the setups that I have and diversify the ability with understanding the trade-offs, right? If somebody finds this key material, that's losing some privacy, but they don't get my Bitcoin. But if my house burns down, now I have this, that's one point of failure. Now in order for me to totally lose, that my house has to burn down and this person has to lose this key material and that person has to lose that key material, you know, and if you distribute it in a way which reduces your single points of failure, you've got pretty good odds of, CK says, getting your Bitcoin across the finish line, right? That's the name of the game. You got to just, mm-hmm. It's one thing to hodl and to stack, but you also have to, as Reed mentioned, be responsible enough to get your Bitcoin across the finish line.
All right. Well, I would say this is probably our most technical episode, and how appropriate. Maybe this will be our BitDevs episode, right? And so Shinobi, you know, thank you again for coming on. And I thought this was a really good conversation. And I thought this, you know, there was a lot of really good, you know, knowledge and lessons learned here that were shared that, you know, hopefully everybody listening can benefit from. And again, hopefully the people listening to this are going to your local meetup, and then you can help propagate this information even further. So, you know, we're here to deliver it for you on Local Bitcoiners, but then, you know, it's up to you guys to pick up the baton and go to your local meetup and keep the conversation going. Keep talking about this. I've given advice too. It's like everybody's situation is different. And so it's important for you to consider, you know, before you jump into a multi-sig, it's like, do you have enough hiding places? Like, does this actually make sense for you? And so, you know, it's important just for everybody to consider, you know, their own individual unique situation. And a lot of times it just helps to talk through it with somebody. And the best place to do that is at your local meetup. Or at least that's, we think, the best place to do it. So, yeah. So I guess that kind of sums up, maybe my kind of key takeaways. How about you, Shinobi? Are you thinking, you have any kind of like high level thoughts or key takeaways or other things that you wanted to bring up that you didn't really have time for?
I guess like the only other thing I would say is just like in the wake of what happened with Cold Card, don't rush. You know, like I said at the start of this, I am still using my Cold Card. Like if your seed was generated safely and is okay, like the main signing functionality and BIP85 stuff is fine. Like I'm still going to keep using this for a while. Like, you know, it's okay. Like tomorrow isn't suddenly going to be like, oh my God, actually the entire firmware base is secretly fucking fucked and everything is a lie and going to steal your, like that's not happening. Like I'm taking my time now. Like, you know, like I'm holding a Trezor right now. Like this was the first hardware wallet I ever used, like 13 years ago. Like I am reassessing where this is at now. Like, and I'm going to do that with everything that is reputable and not some like random fly by night, like Alibaba shop thing. Before I just rush into like moving my coins. And I think everybody should like take their time if they're reassessing their current custody setup and not rush into like changing or adding complexity. Like think it through, like play with it a little bit. Like I have like some little chunk of money sitting on some Frost Snaps right now. The Schnorr like threshold multi-sig devices. And, you know, I'm just letting that chill there. You know, I'm like seeing how do I feel with this? Like having some money on this in this setup, like backed up this different way. Like, even though it's not a lot of money, like, am I sitting there like, I don't like this. I feel like I'm just like risking losing this, or am I okay with it? Just like, don't rush. Like rushing is where mistakes happen.
One thing that I've been doing is, with permaculture and everything, there's, Bill Mawson kind of had this advice that, you should always be doing, like, you do your main thing, whatever that is for your system. You do your bread and butter, and then you do like 10 little experiments alongside of it. And, you know, this is kind of just in addition to what you were just talking about, Shinobi, but like, you know, you can start to, you can do these small and slow solutions and start to feel out different setups without committing to them in like a real way. Just learn about them and just play with them and just, you know, play it, you can make it a game first, and then take what you've learned from the game and then bring it into the real deal, you know, 10, 20 year kind of outlook. But so yeah, the big takeaways for me of this is like, well, first of all, like BitDevs are Bitcoin meetups. And if anyone doesn't think that, they should go to the BitDevs and find out, because you can bring your stuff there. And, like I've been doing, and you can earn Bitcoin there, and you can learn about Bitcoin there, and you can do everything that you can do at a normal Bitcoin meetup at a BitDevs. So don't be shy about that.
People who go to BitDevs like duck eggs too.
Yeah, I got duck eggs for you every month, man. That's right. But you know, when it gets down into like the way that the world's been shaken right now, at least for the Bitcoiners, is, you know, we have to sort of take responsibility and take these. Like kind of what I said, little small experiments, diversify, value the marginal stuff. Don't listen to, if you're tapped into the PodConf pipeline of cultural capital, that's what leads you to, don't trust, verify. You stop doing that. And you drink from the hose of PodConf, right? And so you got to diversify, value the marginal, self-regulate and accept and apply feedback. And, harden your, we're all reevaluating everything. I'm reevaluating everything. It's a great opportunity. This is a marker for, this is a big feedback moment. All right. That's a big feedback moment that we're now, going to have to self-regulate around.
Yep.
All right, man. Well, I think we're getting ready to transition to the second half of our show. So Shinobi, you know, thanks again for coming on. And I think we said pre-show, you know, we'd love to have you stick around for the value for value section. I will warn you, it does go probably about almost another hour. But that's what Rev and I are here for. We're, you know, we're here for our community. We love interacting with our community and finding out what they have going on. We get a lot of back and forths with our boosters, like questions and little inside jokes that we kick back and forth week over week. So yeah, we're going to start transitioning to that. But definitely wanted to make sure, you know, I'm not sure if you're going to stick around or not, but either way, you know, thanks so much for taking the time with us. And I think this was a really valuable discussion.
Hey, off the top of your head, do you know the next kind of rundown for the Bitcoin Collective? It's pretty much every week they're doing something there, right?
This Thursday, they're doing the Bob meetup. So that's kind of just the regular Bitcoin meetup. And then next Thursday is going to be the CBC BitDevs meetup. And also, Forking Coin is officially open. So there is absolutely amazing food, from the head chef Foisey there. I absolutely insist you try some.
Well, I'm really excited that, I wasn't sure. I was actually thinking I wasn't going to be able to make it, but, I was able to shift some things around and I'm going to be able to head out to, Chicago Bitcoin Collective for the Value for Value Summit in, September. So I am extremely excited.
Yeah. So I guess that means you'll be, presenting as well with me. We'll have to be talking about local Bitcoiners over there and, the nine forms.
Well, I don't know about that, but yeah. We'll see.
You were invited. John invited you to join me. So we're going to talk together there. And so that, you know, anyone that's looking to come to this meetup, this event, the V4V Summit, it's pretty sweet, man. There's going to be, a V4V concert. Scardust is going to be headlining. There's going to be the Bitcoin Bodega where Otis Bittmeyer is going to be, selling some coffee and serving some coffee. And I'll have my little, homestead goods and services, you know, goods and Bitcoin miners available. It's going to be cool. We'll all be there. So I guess we can switch over after that little shill to the value for value.
Hell yes.
Segment.
It's a good switch over, right? We're shilling a value for value summit as we switch over to our value for value section of the podcast.
Hell yes.
All right. Well, we're going to start our value for value section off the way we always started off, and that's with our leaderboards. So our leaderboards are here for a reason. Each one kind of has their own unique flavor. And the one we like to start with is our top episodes. And for those of you who listen to the show, I realize that sometimes maybe I sound like a little bit of a broken record here, but it's important to just throw it out there. You know, maybe there's new people who don't realize this or haven't put it together yet. Or, you know, maybe you haven't taken my advice and gone back and listened to some of these episodes. But the reason why we have the top episodes leaderboard is because, you know, we're up to, you know, we like to think that we're a new podcast. You know, we like to call ourselves rookie podcasters. But the fact is, you know, this is episode 25 episodes. If this is your first listen, it's going to be tough to go back and listen to all 25 episodes. We get that. So what you can do is if you want to go back, you know, we think all our episodes are great and definitely worth your time to give them a listen. But if you don't have time for that, a good place to start is with our top episodes. So we're going to read them over. So we got in first place. And we'll most likely be in first place, I think, for, I don't even know, the lifetime of this podcast. We'll see. Is episode 15. And that was with BTC Russell, of course. Privacy is sovereignty. And BTC Russell, of course, I've told the story now a million times, but he got us kicked off with, he donated his split from that show to the Samurai developers. And Rev and I then followed suit shortly thereafterwards. And we have, I guess I announced last week, we've tallied up the total and we are up to 2,382,590 sats, and 100% of those have now been donated to the Samurai developers. And going forward, I've done my little project I mentioned last time. I've adjusted the splits. So now the splits are, I think on if you're boosting on Fountain, it'll be 96% are going to Samurai developers, We still left 1% behind for the boost bot, and so that Rev and I can get notifications for when the boosts come in. And then Fountain takes a little bit of a cut. So that means 96% of all boosts that come in from episode 15 are going straight to the Samurai developers. And so we're very proud of that. We think it's a great idea that you can just, you know, you can make a, you can make a donation straight to them. You don't have to go through us. But if you do come through our show, first of all, it keeps this episode alive. So we keep talking about it. And I think that's the number one thing we need to do with the Samurai developers is, you know, we just can't forget. You need to just keep talking about it. And that's what happens when we keep episode 15 alive on the leaderboards. We're going to keep talking about it. All right. So second place on the list is episode 2. You know, episode 2 was a great episode. And obviously a lot of people agree because it's the episode that's received the second most sats out of all of our episodes. And so that was with GC and James from Jersey City. And the title of that episode was Meetups Are the Ultimate Web of Trust from Jersey City, New Jersey. And third place, we have episode 20. And that was with the Chicago Bitcoin Collective crew. So that was with John and Foyce and Brady. And the title of that episode was the Chicago Bitcoin Collective. And so, boy, you know, we talked about this episode last time, but, you know, the Chicago community really showed up strong. It was right away, like the first week, it was on the top five list. It's still up there. I think it might be our episode with the most unique individual boosters. So just a lot of people showing out and showing the love for the Chicago Bitcoin Collective. And so they have received 148,781 sats. And of course, a third of those sats are going straight back to the Chicago Bitcoin Collective. So you support them when you support that episode. Fourth place is episode 14. That was with SourceNode. I think permaculture for Bitcoin culture. Always a good rip. And fifth place is episode 9 with Sir Spencer, Worthful Kansas City. And they are up to 98,718 sats. And I feel like when we get to the boost, we might have actually gotten a new boost on that episode. So that episode's still getting some life.
How many sats were on the permaculture for Bitcoin culture? I think we missed that.
Oh, I might not have read that one. Yeah. Fourth place, episode 14 with SourceNode had 113,719 sats.
Well, there you go. Not a heavy lift to get into the top five. You know, I mean, if one person wants to put their finger on the scale and get an episode up in there because you thought it had a high signal and is worth listening to, you can do that. But, you know, the community in general, we know through our other leaderboards that you're going back and listening to old episodes. And so, you know, I know everyone's got their boost amounts and the stuff they like to boost, but if you really feel like this one's got some good information, you know, maybe tack a few extra sats onto that boost and try and work some other evergreen content up there so everybody can find the best signal from this podcast.
And if you head over to our stats page on localbitcoiners.com, you can see, well, what episodes, you know, okay, well, now we know the top five, that's well established, but what's right below that? And so you can go, we do have an episode leaderboard that extends it a little bit further. I think it shows the top 10. So you can see below episode 9, it's kind of a big drop off after that. It goes down to 66,685 sats on episode 1. And episode 1 and episode 5 are almost tied with his, episode 5 has 66,185. So if you have another favorite episode, you can kind of check on the status there and see how much it would take to get it into the top episodes. All right, let's move to our second leaderboard. This is our top listeners leaderboard. And so we like to call this, you know, we've called this many things, the ride or dies. I think most recently we've been calling it the core group. You know, these are the people who show up week in and week out. You know, for the most part, these folks have listened to every episode or boosted every episode. And so, you know, we do have, you know, we've got a little bit of turnover going on in this leaderboard. We still have Perminerd up at the top with a perfect 24 out of 24 episodes. Thank you, Perminerd. And, you know, we talk about you every week because you're boosting us every week. But for those of you who don't know, you know, Perminerd and Oshi run the Yada podcast. Except I think maybe they didn't publish one last week. I was looking for it in my podcast feed. So we'll have to see. I don't know if they're just taking a week off, or maybe Perminard's doing some more baseball stuff. I'm not sure exactly what he's got going on. But yeah, check out the Otta podcast.
Perminard's been fishing, man. He's gone fishing.
Oh, there
fishing.
You go.
Yeah.
Gone fishing. Second place on top of it is a good reason, right? That's what I was hoping for. Get out, touch some grass. You don't have to record the podcast every week. Second place on the top of listeners leaderboard is Admin Pac-Man. And Admin Pac-Man, of course, is of local Bitcoiners fame for the mega 2.1 million sat boost that went to the Samurai Core developers. So thank you, Admin Pac-Man, and thank you for going back and boosting all those episodes. So Admin Pac-Man's up to 23 out of 24 episodes. And third place is Noster Gang. Noster Gang, of course, has been on this leaderboard or right around it and certainly interacting with the show for a long time. And I believe has been going back and listening to some of our old episodes and has maybe just about caught up to the chain tip here of 25. So we'll see. Thank you, Noster Gang.
Yeah, Noster Gang, we've got the feature on localbitcoiners.com that there's community feeds with all the podcast interaction from the community. And so Noster Gang is a master curator of high signal podcast feeds, because Noster Gang's out there boosting not just the local Bitcoiners podcast, but a lot of other ones which are worth listening to. So if you go on the website and check out what Noster Gang's been boosting in addition to us, you're going to get some good high signal stuff.
All right, so that takes us to our final leaderboard, and these are our biggest boosts ever received. And so what's cool about the biggest boosts ever received to the show, and what's cool about this leaderboard, is that these are kind of like, you know, evergreen boosts. You know, if you have something you want to say every single week, week in and week out, of course, you can just boost the show every week. We read off all the boosts. It only takes 100 sats for us to reach out. You know, maybe someday we'll have to implement a limit, but you know, we're not at that day right now. So, however, if you don't want to do that, if you just want to, you know, show us some love and also have the ease of getting your message out there every single week, all you have to do is get onto the top five biggest boosts of all time and we'll read off your message every single week. So what we have here, if for our biggest boost of all time, number one, of course, was just mentioned, 2.1 million sats via localbitcoiners.com. And that was from Admin Pac-Man. And the message is for the devs. Code is a speech. The weight scales and orange heart. Admin Pac-Man, Pax Arcade, your Bitcoin time starts now. And that was, of course, on Privacy is Sovereignty with BTC Russell.
Wait a minute. Did you just say via localbitcoins.com?
Localbitcoiners.
Okay.com. I just had a deja vu seizure for a second there.
You know, Local Bitcoins, that was a big, as far as I know, you know, Rev kind of came up with the name, but that was an inspiration for the name of this podcast.
Yeah, the local Bitcoins was the, you know, I wanted to kind of pay homage to that, because local Bitcoins was a way for you to get liquidity locally, right? And
it's amazing.
Local Bitcoiners is the way now through the meetups that you get liquidity locally. And so that's, it's interesting over time, these Easter eggs that I've been thinking about in the podcast have been sussed out. But yeah, that's absolutely an homage to the local Bitcoin.
That was a time and a place that people who weren't there will never understand. You could just go on seller's profile and use just a phone number, email address, like chat user. Like, you didn't even have to get a local Bitcoins account to buy Bitcoin in cash through local Bitcoins. Like back in the day, it was ridiculous.
And now this is the same thing, right? Just like Reb said, if you show up to your meetup, you know, with Bitcoin to sell, I guarantee you, you'll be able to find somebody with cash to buy it. All right. You can go ahead. You want to chime in?
That is something that should be normalized more informally, because it is ridiculous that it is completely okay to do that with, say, like gold coins. Like what's the issue with doing that with Bitcoin? Like, you are just like acquiring or disposing like something for yourself personally.
Yeah, there's no issue with it. I mean, I think there's an arbitrage, right? So the local price of Bitcoin is going to diverge from the spot price pretty aggressively, as most people don't want dollars, they want Bitcoin, right? And so if you're a local person, there's going to be more people locally with dollars looking for Bitcoin than people with Bitcoin looking for dollars. And so there's an arbitrage opportunity there where you can buy the Bitcoin on the exchange, KYC, and then sell it, catch the spread, the 8% spread or whatever it is. And I think that's where some people got in trouble with local Bitcoins, mm-hmm. was that they were doing some... Clearly, the activity wasn't just like, this is my gold and I've had these coins and I'm going to sell them to you now. It was mm-hmm. like, I'm buying gold coins from George every week and I'm selling them at a premium to somebody else.
Yep. But all right. Still chilled the air.
It was a big deal when that site went down. It was definitely the end of an era. All right, we got number two on our biggest boost of all time is 300,000 sats via localbitcoiners.com. And that was from Sovereign. And their message is, Sovereign is the geek squad for Bitcoiners and Bitcoin companies. Come check us out at sovereign.io, spelled S-O-V-R-E-I-G-N. Thanks, Rev and Reed. And that was a show level boost. And so thank you, Sovereign, for your support there. And our next boost on the list is also from Sovereign. And here it was 200,000 sats via localbitcoiners.com. And their message this time was, Sovereign focuses on helping individuals, families, and companies integrate Bitcoin into their personal and professional lives with confidence, recognizing the crucial role it plays in the broader economic picture. If you want to dig deeper into self-custody, node running, or point-of-sale implementation, Sovereign has your back. Thanks to all the meetup organizers out there for keeping the grassroots Bitcoin ethos alive. Go to sovereign.io, spelled S-O-V-R-E-I-G-N, for support on your Bitcoin journey. And all of those sats went to episode 15, Privacy is Sovereignty with BTC Russell. So that's two of our biggest boosts of all time are going straight to the Samurai developers. So thank you again, Sovereign. Our fourth biggest of all time is 105,000 sats, again, via localbitcoiners.com. And this time it's from BTC Jackalope. His message is, escape to the listening loft cabin in Wilmington, Vermont, a modern two-bedroom retreat featuring a signature vinyl record listening loft, luxury bedroom, peaceful deck. Perfect for skiing at Mount Snow or a relaxing getaway. Pay in Bitcoin, get 20% off. Visit listeningcabin.com for more information. And so he boosted episode 2, Meetups Are the Ultimate Web of Trust, with GC and James from Jersey City. And actually, you know, just spoiler alert, he's been working too on renovating the basement there. He's got a whole cabin vibe going on. It's going to be like kind of like a camp out type room with some kind of stuff for kids and stuff like that. So he's definitely coming out with some cool stuff, improving the experience up at the listening loft cabin.
You know, the meetups need to start doing more ski club type shit, man, where, you know, everyone gets together and they take a trip together and they all go to the listening loft.
I have been wanting like a BitDev style, like unconference camping, like thing for fucking years. Like literally, what else do you need except a bunch of autistic Bitcoiners, a campground somewhere, maybe like some whiteboards for like people to go self-organize to like talk about shit, and then a speaker and a microphone for like presentations if people feel like doing it. But like, just like, you know, fish, cook, camp, Bitcoin, like,
sounds like Lake Satoshi to me. Like
just like the like bit devs, like Yeah, I don't know. I need to get up there. I really do. I've wanted to for like 2 years now, and it's just like every time something happens.
And unironically, man, if you're looking for a whiteboard, you can find one at a campsite somewhere at Lake Satoshi. People bring that shit. That does happen. Boom.
All right, let's hit our last boost on the biggest boost of all time, because this is our third one on the leaderboards here from Sovereign. 100,000 sats via localbitcoiners.com. And the message is, here's what I'm thinking. Sovereign focuses on helping individuals, families, and companies integrate Bitcoin into their personal and professional lives with confidence, recognizing the crucial role it plays in the broader economic picture. If you want to dig deeper into self-custody, node running, or point-of-sale implementation, Sovereign has your back. Thanks to all the Bitcoin meetup organizers out there for helping keep the grassroots ethos alive. Go to SOVREIGN, sovereign.io, for support on your Bitcoin journey. And that one was on Permaculture for Bitcoin Culture with SourceKnown, episode 14.
And if you want to keep building a relationship with Sovereign, you know, we talk about Sovereign. They boosted the crap out of the show, right? And they're friends of ours. But, you know, if you want to learn, you know, hear what they got to say, they've got the Becoming Sovereign podcast. Brandon Karpeles does that. Plebeian on Noster. Check it out. I enjoy that podcast. It's part of my 40HBW. I listen to it. So,
And before we move to, you know, we've got our big giveaway. We're going to go through the meetups, give a giveaway. But before we get there, just a couple more shout outs. We always like to shout out the streamers. So we have got our biggest streamers of all time on our stats page on localbitcoiners.com. And so I think I mentioned last time, so Stacy is up there as our biggest streamer of all time. 21,354 sats streamed via Fountain. Thank you, Stacy. Logs is up there with 16,346 via Fountain. Chad F, that total's going up, 13,092 sats from Castomatic. We've also got Pleb to Polymath, Julio, We All Eat, Used to Read a Lot. Thank you guys for supporting the show with the streams. We also read off the top zappers, but I'm looking down the list here and I'm not seeing any real changes in our top zappers of all time. We've got, I told the story of why Local Bitcoiners, of course, is our top zapper of all time because I sent stats to ourselves and now we're on a leaderboard. And then we've got, yep. That's right. Yep. Boosted my own note. Yep. That's all right. That's all right. We get to tell the story hilarious. And laugh about it. We've got Cleveland Bitcoin. They sent us a huge zap, 21,000 sat zap. Ahi also sent us a 21,000 sat zap. Thank you guys. We appreciate it. All right. So with that, we can talk about meetups. Let's talk about meetups. We've got a lot of meetups.
What are the upcoming meetups? What are the featured events of the episode?
Yes, we do. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 featured meetups coming up. And the first one is from Battersea Bitcoiners. And so their meetup is, let's see. So we're recording on Tuesday the 18th. So this is for tomorrow, Wednesday the 19th. So our episode should be out just in time, maybe for you to make it to Battersea Bitcoiners Sats Market. And that's again in Little Bianca in the UK from 6 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. local time. Another one coming up would be on Wednesday, September 2nd, and that's Cincinnati Bitcoin. So that was posted by Clay Seal. How silent payments make Bitcoin payments more private. And that one was featured by me. So I decided to feature that one. I thought that would be a good one to let everybody know about. The next one is Thursday, September 3rd through Sunday, September 6th in Prospera Free Cities Conference 2026. This was posted by Jordy and featured by Rev Hoddle. Another good one to get out there. We've got WitSixer. He featured and also posted the Cleveland Bitcoin monthly meetup. And so that's at Saucy Brewworks, Cleveland, Ohio. That's Friday, September 11th, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And finally, you want to go?
No, what's the last one?
Yeah, so finally we've got Augie posted Nakamotown first annual retreat. And that's in Ray County, Missouri, And that's Friday, October 2nd through Sunday, October 4th. And it was featured by Sir Spencer Wolf of Kansas City. So the Kansas City crew putting their heads together, both former guests on the show. And yeah, we get to hopefully start shilling Nakamotown week over week until October 2nd.
So if I get this straight, everybody in the wheel right now, except for KC, has won, right? Battersea Bitcoiners got hit. We're going to give away 21,000 sats right now, Shinobi, to one of the, we're going to spin a wheel and randomly one of these featured meetups is going to get 21,000 sats.
Okay, that's dope.
So, I think everybody except the KC folks have won at this point. So we might have our first double winner.
Repeat winner?
Yeah.
It could be.
So are we ready to spin it?
All right, let's go. How do I spin it? Here we go. And we're landing on. Oh, Whit Sixer.
Oh, Whit Sixer gets it again.
From Cleveland. So he has won before.
And the persistence
so there you go.
Is paying off, man. You've got 42K sats just from posting your meetup on Noster. Thank you very much. That's great.
Yeah. And so, you know, look, the reason why we're doing this giveaway, and maybe people remember the story, maybe you don't, but you know, we've got a lot of sats that have built up. You know, we keep a shared wallet between Rev and I, and it's like a slush fund for the show. We call it like our V for V wallet, or, you know, we've called it a lot of different things, but these are for us to give sats back to the community. And I guess I'll be completely honest. It's pretty hard to zap that out. Like the totals that we were racking up in that wallet, it was hard to zap them out like 21 sats at a time. So we had to kind of start taking things a little bit more seriously to get the sats back to the community. So we appreciate everybody playing with the tools, right? You're featuring your event on localbitcoiners.com. And yeah, it's been great for us to be able to test out these new features. And it's been great for us to be able to find, you know, these are probably the highest signal meetups, right? Because these are the ones that are getting featured. People are actually paying sats to get these things featured. So we appreciate that. And congratulations, yeah, so WhitSixer.
If you want to get in on this and get that 21K, all you got to do is put your meetup on make a Noster event for your meetup. And then if you boosted the show before, you're part of the community, you're going to be, that'll be a featured event. And you will get in the running to get some, maybe you can get 21K sats next week. Get the meetups up there, guys. Get them out there. That's what we want. That's what we're trying to incentivize with this, is just putting your meetups on Noster. So there's a good way to aggregate all of the different options for people to go find this stuff. You know, if you're on Noster, you're a hardcore Bitcoiner, you're probably going to want to go to a Bitcoin meetup. And if you can find them on Noster, then that's even better.
You know, and these are, you know, because if you go to localbitcoiners.com, you know, you're getting a curated list of meetups, right? So the list of meetups there, if you go on to, you know, let's say Plectos, you're going to see all, you know, not just Bitcoin meetups. You're going to see every event that's posted on Noster, you know, and that's great. You know, all of those events are cool. But on localbitcoiners.com, we're only showing you the events that have been posted or boosted by members of our community. And how do you get into our community? You send us a boost. Send us a boost one time from your NPub, and then now you'll be in the community.
Or I think you can zap 100 sats too, right?
Yes. You can also
you
zap.
Can also zap us
zap
on those
100 year. Sats. Yep. Or you could be invited on the show. And then, so Shinobi, you'll be in the community. So if you post a meetup, it'll be listed on our site going forward.
Oh God, you don't comprehend the absurd trolling that just occurred to me I could do.
Yeah, well, we always invite everybody to break our games, man.
That's right.
So
yes,
you know, if you want to troll us and break our shit,
1 a.m. under the LaSalle Street Bridge, the Chicago River. Don't forget to bring your hardware wallet.
Bring that hardware wallet, man. And your steel backup too, just in case.
All right. Well, that takes care of the first big section of our V4V part of the show. And I think, are we ready to switch over to the boosts?
Yeah, we got some boosts. We got some boosts. This is great. We always do. A lot of familiar faces here. Really excited to get into it. So let's go. First, we got 5,000 sats via localbitcoiners.com from WitSixer. The cold card fiasco is a horrible situation for many people. I can't imagine. All we can do as a community is rally around those who are affected and harden the tools that we use in the space. Every revolution has its battles that are lost. We have to pick ourselves up and double down on our resolve. And that was from Meetups Decentralized Bitcoin Culture, episode 24 with Reed and I. And WitSixer, I agree. I think that's pretty much the sentiment, you know. Time to reevaluate what you got going on, self-regulate, accept and apply feedback, and help however you can the people that were not so fortunate.
Absolutely.
Next, we got 333 sats via Castomatic from Chad F. I was just about to message Reed and say, just send 1% of the boost to yourself to monitor the Samurai episode, but he just said that, and that was on Meetups Decentralized Bitcoin Culture, episode 24. And so that's in reference to our continued passing through the sats, passing the sats along for the episode of BTC Wrestle. What was it, episode 15? Episode 15 with BTC Wrestle. All the sats that any boosts come through on that episode are going to go straight to the Samurai devs with a 1% cut just for us to be able to monitor and recognize those boosts.
Yep.
So thanks for that feedback, Chad F. Chad and Reed actually have a new podcast called Candor, Chad and Reed's podcast, where if you're interested in more of the technical side of Podcast 2.0, how Podcast 2.0 and Nostr intersect, and some interesting tools that they've been building around showcasing and proof of concepting a lot of this stuff. You should check that podcast out. I've been listening to it, enjoying it.
We're doing our first live episode tomorrow night. So Wednesday, we're going to start recording Wednesday nights, and we're going live, baby. We're going to try
Wednesday
it out.
Wednesday night, what time? What time? Everyone needs to know. How do they find this link?
It's in the feed, you know, because you got to plan the feed. Look, Chad's running the feed. So, he's kind of set it up, but, it's parked for 8 PM, but I think we're going to probably start the actual show more like 8:30.
Okay. So go find, Chad and Reed's podcast on your favorite podcasting 2.0 app. That could be Fountain. That could be Castomatic, whatever. Subscribe to it, and then you'll get the notification. You'll see the live, thing up there and be able to listen to them record live. That's cool. I didn't know that. Next up, we got 101 sats via Fountain from Nostr Gang. Action packed episode. Local Bitcoiners Meetups, Decentralized Bitcoin Culture, episode 24. Well, thanks, Nostr Gang. And it was action packed. We were, you know, there was a lot of emotions involved last week, as we processed everything that was happening. Kind of a lot of things at once, man. And I've said it once. I'll say it again. If you're not listening to the Hell Money podcast, the Hell Money podcast predicted a lot of this stuff fairly accurately through astrology. So I find that to be fun. And it's, you know, if you like astrology, check out Hell Money podcast.
There's some definite connections between people who like astrology and people who like the drawing lines on charts, like the technical analysis people. I've heard it's a lot of the same type of stuff that goes on in, underneath the surface on those two areas.
Yeah, it's catching the subtle energies, right? You have to be able to find a way to create patterns and decomplexify the complex systems of the subtle energies. And honestly, you know, permaculture is a technique. It's a framework for doing the same thing. So that maybe that's why it's attractive to me to hear somebody talk about astrology as it relates to Bitcoin and the way things are going. Next, we got 6,969 sats, 6969 via localbitcoiners.com from Sir Spencer, Wolf of Kansas City. Great to meet you in real life at Lake Satoshi Rev. Reed, we will surely meet up before too long. If you can't make it to Nakamoto Town, will be in Massachusetts for Thanksgiving. Speaking of Nakamoto Town, it's right around the corner, October 2nd through October 4th. Come camp and sing and swim and fish and eat good food at Augie's Farm. It's going to be awesome. Details are here at the link, and he's got a Plectos link. And so this meetup was submitted as part of the featured events via localbitcoiners.com tonight, and it almost won 21K sats, but didn't quite get there. But, you know, it's going to be on there for a while, I think, because it's not happening until October. And, you know, I am thinking about making my way down there. I'm going to try and make it happen, button up the homestead, and head down to Augie's place for Nakamoto Town. Augie's been to my place. I owe him a visit. Check out his place. We can exchange notes on our permaculture systems and what have you, but going to be some cool Bitcoiners there regardless. And Kansas City has got one of the best. They've been on our leaderboards for the whole time. So check it out.
Absolutely. Yeah, that sounds like it's going to be a good one. I'm glad we get to talk about that one every single week now.
Dude, I am so agitated right now that I have no space to like grow anything but herbs.
Yeah, you know, well, there's a guy, Peter Allen. He says that there is no theoretical limit to the amount of calories you can produce in 1 acre. And so, you know, if you think you don't have space, really what you don't have is intensive management, where you can fill pots with soil and all kinds of vessels with soil, and you can do hydroponic gardens in your windows, and you can do all kinds of crazy shit, man. But yeah, realistically, if you want to grow all of your own calories and really grow your own food, you need some space. And, yeah, you know, Augie's got some space. He's got several acres and two ponds, and, he's been really developing this property with his sheep, his pigs, and his cows, over the last several years. And so I want to go see what he's got going on down there, because
does he have an aquaponic setup in the ponds, or just like natural, like let it roll?
I don't think that he's actively growing anything in the ponds, as far as vegetables go, as far as plants go. I'm not sure if he stocks them, but I'm pretty sure that there are fish in the ponds.
I meant like feed loop systems. Like one of the most interesting things, not quite like natural like permaculture, but just like the closed loop aquaponic systems with like green based agriculture and like white fish.
Sure.
Carp, like putting the plant waste,
tilapia,
like cycling. Yeah. But like I really want to see that kind of stuff pushed to its limits, because like why on earth are we not doing that with like just all the space we can everywhere? It's like incredibly like efficient. It's like very fucking cheap when you get it going.
Well, and you know, like, the answer to it, man. Because the money is broken and everything's incredibly subsidized, and there's no incentive to manage anything that intensively, to like actually use space and resources efficiently, when you can just steal from the future for today. Who gives a fuck? We don't need to fucking put tilapia farms in everyone's basement and shit with that actually, like, dude, grow some.
Even just doing it like small, localized, like industrial scales, like you can fill in such a massive protein gap with that, and then maybe kind of take some of the fucking pressure off livestock production, so those supply chains and like the horrors of that being done at scale can maybe be unfucked a little bit.
Well, that's what you know, guys like Augie and I are trying to do and trying to exemplify, is we're trying to show people, look, You can, permaculture is a set of ethics and principles that doesn't apply to everything at a large scale. It applies to everything at any scale. And so you can figure out ways to interact with, analyze, and design complex systems. A lot of times complex systems are food production systems, but they could be systems like Bitcoin as well, to benefit your life. And if you want to be a sovereign individual and you want to take control, like you, the whole reason why you wrote that permaculture article, right? You want to try and exemplify, like, if you want to be sovereign, you should probably know some shit about natural capital and growing food. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's up to us individually. And that's why it's great. If we're building a parallel system through Bitcoin and there's a strong culture of food production, because if we want to be sovereign individuals, we should all be producing our food. Well, guess what? That's a very resilient culture that's going to pop up out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. If everyone knows how to grow their own food and they know how to like create entropy so that the AI can't find the vulnerability that's going to steal our Bitcoin and all this shit, dude. And we got guns and we got all, you know, it's going to be a very tough one to put down.
Yep.
All right. We ready for the next boost? Next boost is 1,234 sats via localbitcoiners.com from Perminerd. Was able to listen to this episode. Was able to listen to this episode. I will get back to the others. I promise. This was another fantastic installment of Local Bitcoiners. You guys are exactly like me if I was smart. And that was Meetup's Decentralized Bitcoin Culture episode 24. We appreciate it, Perminerd. And, you know, I think that you're pretty smart for taking a little vacay from doing the podcast and going fishing, man. I'm definitely feeling the need to take a little time off and go do something like that. Everything is I'm too transactional in my life. I'm trying to quantify everything too much and evaluate these 8 forms or 9 forms of capital. And sometimes you just need to put a pause on all that and just go fucking fishing. So check out Perminerd's Noster feed. You can see some of his haul that he got from his recent fishing trip. Next, did you have anything to add, Reed?
Just going to say another permaculture guy. Permaculture keeps coming up, right? So unsurprisingly.
Yeah. Permaculture for Bitcoin culture. It's a good thing. Next, we got 1,000 sats via localbitcoiners.com from WitSixer. It's taken me a while to get the wind in my sails using Noster, but I seem to have caught the breeze finally. It's really growing on me, and that's how Bitcoin meetups can benefit from value for value, Noster, and value chains, episode 7. So WitSixer continues to go back and build, re-listen to our old episodes or listen to them for the first time and build up his stats there to get on the leaderboard. And you know, this is a big, it's our sneaky way, right? We're telling you this is a podcast about Bitcoin meetups, but really this is also a podcast about how badass Noster is, because Noster is the shit. And it's a way that we can take the culture, move the frontier. So we've got the frontier at the Bitcoin meetups, right? That's one thing where we're all getting together in person. But we've got this other frontier on Noster that we're going to be playing around with. And if we combine those two things together, it's incredibly powerful. And it's just going to take Noster, time to reveal that.
Noster, and you know, to me, it's, The reason why he's, you know, I love to hear it with Sixer, and I really appreciate you, you know, you coming along and playing the games and doing all the stuff. You know, we see you and we definitely appreciate you. And I like to think at least that, you know, maybe the reason why Noster is finally, you know, you caught the sales or whatever, you know, you're trying to say, or it's growing on you, is it's, you know, we're trying to show how Noster can be used to build a community. It is a community building. It is a platform that you can build a community on. And when I say build a community, I literally mean build it, because, you know, a lot of our community features, a lot of our community tools, we have community feeds on the website. We have, if you've ever sent us a boost, you know, you're on our supporters page. You can go check out all the other podcasts that you've been boosting. We can see all the events you've been posting. You know, this is only possible on Noster. Like, there's not another platform protocol that you can do this on. And so it's just a matter of putting the people in a place where they can all see it and where this actually survives your whatever chronological timeline that everything's normally just scrolling by you. And, you know, we like to think if you build out a community page and you really feature things from your community in a way that, you know, they survive and you can actually see them week over week or whenever you check in, you know, that's just a great way to build community. So I appreciate it, WitSixer.
All right, next up, we got 100 sats via localbitcoiners.com from Bullish Market, boosting my meetup from localbitcoiners.com. The monthly Bullish Market, August 21st, 6 p.m. Central Daylight Time to 7 p.m. Central Daylight Time. And there's a link on Plectos there that you can click and follow along. Now, we kind of, you know, Bullish Market didn't get into the wheel because it's not really a physical meetup, right? And so no, this is another example,
though, right? Because if it's a, you as can long imagine, as it's posted,
we know
I have it filtered on in person, right?
Okay. Well, Bullish has some reputation, right? He's built. Oh, yeah. We all know Bullish, and Bullish is doing this thing. But like, if we open it up to like these digital meetups, it's like, yeah, my scheduled event on Corny Chat, I'm gonna win. I'm gonna try and win 21k sats because I'm gonna schedule a meetup on Corny Chat. So there is a little bit of a gray area there, and I think we should put the hard line and Bullish, if you did boost that meetup thinking that the Bullish Market was going to get into this wheel and everything, I think that we should put the hard line at like, this has to be a meetup, in the physical space, in the real world. But
yeah, you know, we'll have to think about that because I don't know if we ever made that declaration before. And I was just noticing because I thought it maybe didn't show up. I kept trying to hit refresh to find out why it wasn't there, but
I mean,
I forgot we've got this filter for in-person versus virtual events.
I get why you guys would do that, but like online communities can be substantial. Like I've run like online communities that went for years and like, you know, serious lifelong friendships like came out of that. But it's also a lot harder to kind of filter out people just trying to get free sats with made up nonsense and civil accounts.
Yeah. And this definitely isn't that, you know, we've talked a lot about the Bullish Market. It happens that it's the 21st of every month. It's been going on for, I'm not sure how long, maybe a year or like it's been going on for quite a while. And he's a regular, you know, part of the community. And so I don't know, I would say, you know, maybe back to Rev, like let's talk about it before next week. Because I don't know. I feel like there's an argument to be made that maybe we should include it. And maybe we can draw that line, you know, sometime in the future or come up with a more distinct way to decide if it's in or out.
Well, I guess this one would still be in the running for next week. If it's on.
Yeah, we'll talk August about it. 21st. I would say
we'll figure it out.
I would say
we'll figure it out.
For this week, I would say I missed it. I just didn't notice it. So we'll get you next time.
Well, either way, not to detract from what actually Bullish is trying to do here is he's trying to promote the Bullish Market. All right. So that is happening on Friday, August 21st, 6 p.m. Central Daylight Time to 7 p.m. So check it out. Follow the link. Get involved in the Bullish Market. And next we got 111 sats via fountain from Bullish Clips, Bullish on the triple R's. Reed and Rev Rips, and that's Local Bitcoiners Meetups Decentralized Bitcoin Culture episode 24. Thank you, Bullish. Next, we got 1,000 sats via localbitcoiners.com from Admin Pacman. Hey, thanks for the shout out. The tag, it's Pax Arcade, not Pac-Man's Arcade. People tend to call me Pac. Nice to meet you. Yeah, if we misspoke, Admin Pacman, we'll get that straightened out. But thanks for the correction there. And that was on Meetups Decentralized Bitcoin Culture, episode 24. Next, we got 282 sats via localbitcoiners.com, 420 sats intended, one leg failed, from Admin Pacman. Maybe it's this one, upside down smiley face emoji. And that's the Great Lakes Megalopolis with Matthew D. Ann Arbor, Michigan, episode 21. I'm not sure if that's the one you missed. How far is Admin Pacman still one episode off?
I think so.
Of having a perfect score.
And so here's how you do it, Admin Pacman. If you're listening to this episode, go over to our stats page, localbitcoiners.com/stats. And then in the episode leaderboards, there's a radio button where if you're logged in with Noster, it will tell you all the episodes that you've boosted. Now that I'm saying that out loud, I don't know if I've tested it to see if that actually expands to all 20-something episodes. So theoretically, maybe I'll check on that after this episode.
There's a way you can try to figure it out.
You can try.
And then when you try and it doesn't work, you let us know in a boost.
You let us know.
And then we'll correct that. Yeah, yeah, thank you. Next, we got 500 sats via fountain from Battersea Bitcoiners. Love the Read and Rev rip, and really enjoyed Rev reading out my tongue twister. Clearly should have made it harder. Watch this space. Oh shit. Patterson Bitcoiners, coming, are you going to, you're going to make a real one that I have to actually practice for? All right. I'm ready. I'm ready. And that was on, Meetups Decentralized Bitcoin Culture, episode 24. Next, we got 537 sats via fountain from Undisciplined. And you know, Undisciplined has, we've talked about Stacker News and stuff. And, so Undisciplined, here's his boost. We need to borrow some of your gamification ideas for the Stacker News pod or the Stacker Sports pod, Stacker Sports pod. Check it out. Stacker Sports pod. He's got a link, to the fountain, show for that podcast. And, you know, I do listen to the, what do they call it? Stacker News, what's the Stacker News podcast? How can I not think of it right now?
I think it's called
Stacker News Live, isn't it? Stacker News Live. There's a Stacker News Live podcast, and in there they have some gamification stuff, for the Stacker News community. And one of them is, if you get a, how long you've had your cowboy hat for, and if you have a cowboy hat. And Undisciplined has a cowboy hat on Stacker News, and he gets recognized, or they get recognized on Stacker News, every week. So Undisciplined
I don't understand Stacker News at all. Like, I finally just made an account last month, other than like the boosting structure and the Reddit clone. Like, I don't get it. I don't understand the cowboy credits. Like, can I fucking tip people with them or what? Like, the wallet integration doesn't seem to work. Like, what the fuck? What is this thing? Why are we not doing something 10 times better, like just natively on Noster?
Well, they do have a bridge, or they do.
I know about the bridge,
cross post,
like,
to Noster.
Just why is the whole thing not just ripped out and just done on Noster?
Well, I have said the same thing on this podcast before, and Undisciplined has backed up what's going on over there at Stacker News. And so they got their own thing over there. They got their own community. I you know, maybe one day they'll see the light and just be Noster only. But for now, Undisciplined is a huge participant over there at Stacker News, and he's got a podcast, Stacker Sports Pod, that you should check out, and I should check out. I'm going to check it out, Undisciplined. Thanks for sharing that. Next, we got 530 sats via fountain from Undisciplined. We just rog-dogged our Riverside invite link when we wanted to do a community call. The audio worked pretty well that way, and that was on Michigan Meetup Roundtable with Buffalo, Grand Rapids, Michigan, episode 23. And so I guess it wouldn't have been too risky to just put the Riverside link out there for all those people. But us and our Noster psychosis, you know, I was like, we need to use any Noster tool available.
We did want to use the Noster tools.
Yeah. So it was cool that we could showcase Corny Chat, and it worked out. We, you know, by the hair of our chinny chin chin, because we had Riverside as the backup, we didn't lose the recording. And that episode happened. But good to know if you are using Riverside.
It was just a fun way, you know, cause we didn't have the value for value section cause we pre-recorded it. And, that was fun. I feel like we'll probably find a way to make something like that happen again.
Yeah. The sauce has to be, spread just right for us to get spicy like that again. But, you know, it will happen. No doubt. Next, we got 111 sats via fountain from Bullish Clips. The local BTC, all caps, local BTC referral code is a way for me to know which users who sign up for hashtag take my sats are listeners. I'll find a way to hook them up and send some value back to the show. Fee for me, baby. And takemysats.com. So, if you're interested in getting involved in this marketplace stuff, which is heating up, dude, on Noster right now, maybe it's just from the circles I hang in or whatever, but I feel like the marketplace stuff is kind of quickly becoming the killer app of Noster. Being able to market your products and your services, operating peer to peer through these marketplaces, getting it cross-aggregated across all these different marketplaces. A huge opportunity for anyone who wants to stack some no KYC corn. And so TakeMySats.com is a place where you can set up a store and you can do that. And I think that they're now integrated with the NIP99 spec. So your shit will...
Both ways, you, too.
Yeah.
Import and export. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're going to be everywhere if you get on TakeMySats.com. And if you go on and set up your little store on TakeMySats.com, your little marketplace there, you can use local BTC and let Bullish know that you found it through us. And that's good feedback.
Thanks, Bullish.
Next, we got 840 sats via localbitcoiners.com. And dude, once again, if we went back and added it up, it seems like most of the people that are boosting the show are boosting through the website. So that's amazing, guys. I really want to say, we built this site. We're trying to make it a useful, place for everyone to come hang out and get some, share this intellectual and experiential capital, build the culture. And, the fact that you're using the website really means a lot and I appreciate it. So we got 840 sats via localbitcoiners.com, 1,000 sats intended, one leg failed from WitSixer. Setting up a 501c3 is such a good idea. Cleveland Bitcoin is in the process of doing that as well. Really good episode. And that was Making Meetups Fun and Sustainable, Bitcoin Bay, episode 8. An oldie but a goodie on that one. The crew over there in Tampa. You know, Liz actually was able to stop through the homestead on the way back from Lake Satoshi. And, you know, hang out at the tiny house and get the tour and everything. And she was, sweet. She picked up some lamb chops. And so, you know, not this next one, but I think it's going to come up where there's going to be another, story of personal connections made through, talking on the podcast. But next we got 420 sats via localbitcoiners.com from WitSixer, and WitSixer is boosting the Cleveland meetup. And that's the Cleveland, Bitcoin monthly meetup. September 11th, 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time to 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Saucy Brew Works, Cleveland, Ohio. Well, thanks, Wick Sixer. You doubled up.
And this is the winner, right? Yeah, this is the winning. The winning.
So keep
boost.
It up. That's good incentives, eh? 42,000 sats just for posting your meetup on localbitcoiners.com, on Noster, whatever. Pretty good.
Yeah, you spent 420 sats featuring it. And 121,000 sats. Let's go.
Not a bad deal. Next, we got 111,000 sats or 1,111 sats via Fountain from Stacy. What a great story, Rev. I had to clip it. You're always helping people see the possibilities with Bitcoin. Orange heart, purple
and
heart,
a clip,
lightning
a clip
emoji.
From Fountain. Great.
Yeah. And so, thanks, so Stacy clipped something from the last episode. That was Meetups Decentralized Bitcoin Culture, episode 24. And that was actually the meetup story, the meetup adventure story that I told at the beginning of the episode relating to spinning up your own shitcoin or just using Bitcoin and Noster to bootstrap a community. So thank you, Stacy. And Stacy is actually, cooperating with Conduit Market now. And as I was saying, like these Noster-based markets are really starting to heat up, guys. People are getting involved. There's a lot going on. It's a good opportunity to ride that momentum and get involved. Sign up at Take My Sats, sign up at Conduit, go to Plebeian Market, go wherever you find one of these marketplaces. Get your stuff, sell your chairs for Bitcoin. And it's a bear market, right? This is the time to be stacking sats. Sell everything you got. These prices ain't going to stay this low forever. Get on it. And finally, we got 333 sats via Podcast Guru from Chad F. Let's see if this post to Noster from Local Bitcoiners. And so Chad F was trying something out there. He's testing
as usual.
Something.
Yep. And of course, he successfully broke something because it was a show level boost. And for some reason, it says episode 0. Was boosted, so I'm not sure what that means.
The unknown episode.
Yeah, it was worked through it with the clanker, and yeah, of course, Chad F finding more bugs for us, and we're squashing them. Let's go. Thanks, Chad.
Well, that wraps it up. That's the boosts. That's the value for value segment. Shinobi, I really appreciate you chiming in. throughout it. It adds some color.
Yeah, and thanks for sticking
makes
around.
It more
I
fun.
Appreciate it.
Been really cool to hang out with you on a podcast and not just at the local BitDevs meetup there in Chicago.
Yeah, man. I mean, dude, I fucking hate people who like come on shows and then just like bail like the second it's not about them. Like it's a show. You know what I mean? do the show.
Yeah, well, thanks for sticking around. Yeah, I mean, I think it's cool, man, because, you know, I don't know, people always, you know, you chimed in with a few things. It's like everybody's got something to say. It's just our community interacting. So, yeah, I think it's cool. The more the merrier. Thank you.
It was fun, man.
All right, Rev, what do you think? We ready to close this one up?
Let's roll the outro.
Episode complete. If you run a Bitcoin meetup and want to talk about it here, reach out. Check the show notes for contact info, link to meetup organizer resources on GitHub, and more. Send us a boost of any size and advertise your next meetup. We'll read it out on the next episode. And remember, attend your local meetup or start your own. Local Bitcoiners are always just one meetup away.